It's time now for Super Psychologist, Dr. Mara Karpel, and your golden years.
Welcome to Dr. Mara Karpel and your golden years this evening and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. Central Time and then 6 p.m. Eastern Time right here on blogtalkradio.com and on drmarakarpel.com. And today is Sunday, June the 4th, and we are here live from Austin, Texas, and it sounds like there's another thunderstorm rolling in like there was last week and the week before. Seems that the thunderstorm greets us every time we do a program. So if we get cut off, you'll understand, or if there's any kind of weirdness with the sound, we're experiencing a thunderstorm. But hopefully we'll get through this program without a glitch. And Art Mendoza of Accomplice Entertainment, producer of this program, is here with us to help us get through the program, and we have another great show in store. In a few minutes after the break, we'll be joined once again from Westchester, New York, by yoga teacher Steve Kane, and this time Steve will discuss the psychology and physiology of yoga. So we're going to go a little bit deeper into the topic of yoga and how it really helps us. And later in the program, musician and crooner Brett Marshall will join us from South Padre Island, Texas, and we'll be playing some of his music. And Laura Gelizunas will be back to report in from the retirement paradise south of the border. And I, along the way, I will talk about increasing self-love to help us to spread more love in the world right now. I think we really need that in the world, and we all could use a little bit more self-love. And if this is the first time that you're tuning in, I'm a licensed psychologist from New York City, practicing here in Austin, Texas, and the Rio Grande Valley of Texas. And I work with adults of all ages and have a specialty of working with seniors and with caregivers, and for the past few years have also been evaluating veterans for PTSD. And part of the time, my office is in a wonderful Veterans Resource Center, Heroes Night Out, which is located in Cedar Park, Texas. And for information about this really great resource for veterans and for their families, you can check out their website at heroesnightout.org. Want to contact me? Do you have a question or a comment, something that you feel that I should know about? Send me an email to Dr. Mara, that's D-R-M-A-R-A, at drmarakarpel.com, D-R-M-A-R-A-K-A-R-P-E-L.com, or go through my website or give me a call at 512-626-6973. This evening's program is Productions and Psyched Up Productions and sponsored by Dr. Ronald DeVere, neurologist, memory specialist, and author of the book, Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask. To make an appointment with Dr. DeVere at his clinic in Lakeway, Texas, or to purchase a copy of his book, you can call him at 512-261-7909, or you can send him an email to rdevere, that's R-D-E-V-E-R-E, at austin.rr.com. And his book is also available on Amazon. And this evening's program is also sponsored by StoryHouse. StoryHouse gathers your stories and turns them into multimedia collections that can be shared now and for generations to come. Have StoryHouse over to conduct a private interview in your home or invite them to your next big event or family reunion. StoryHouse, where your memories live. Find out more at yourstoryhouse.com or call 512-296-8752. And throughout this evening's program, if you have any questions or comments for me or for my guests, please feel free to give them a call. The toll-free number is 855 855-345-4720. That's 855-345-4720. Or you can email or tweet your questions to me, and I will read them on the air to my guest. My email address, once again, is Dr. Mara, that's DRMARA at DrMaraKarpel.com, DrMaraKarpel.com. And my Twitter address is MaraEK. But if you have a question, be sure to send it in or call while the guest is still on the line so they can answer it for you. And you can hear this evening's program again by going to my website, and the link to the podcast will be posted later tonight, along with all of the website links given by my guests on the program, and that's at DrMaraKarpel.com. And you can also hear the podcast as soon as 5 minutes after the show ends by going directly to Blog Talk Radio, that's blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. And for information from previous shows, to listen to previous shows, to read my blog, find out about my upcoming book, go to my website, DrMaraKarpel.com. And follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years. And if you go to blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears, you can hear all of the previous programs that we have done since we've been on Blog Talk Radio. All right, so we're going to take a brief break. Don't go anywhere, because after the break, we have yoga teacher Steve Kane, who will be joining us to talk about the psychology and physiology of yoga. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Super psychologist Dr. Mara Karpel will be back after words from our sponsors.
Are you or a loved one a Medicare beneficiary? Help save you and Medicare money by stopping Medicare fraud. Fraud happens when Medicare is billed for services or supplies you never receive. There are three easy things you can do to fight fraud. Review your Medicare claims for accuracy, protect your personal information, and be on the lookout for suspicious activity. For more information or to report fraud, call Medicare at 1-800-MEDICARE or your local SHIP counselor at the Area Agency on Aging at 1-800-252-9240. Please visit us on the web at www.drmarakarpel.com.
And we're back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel and Your Golden Years on Blog Talk Radio and our live stream and podcast at drmarakarpel.com. And now joining us once again on the phone from Westchester, New York, we have Steve Kane, yoga instructor. And this time, Steve is here to talk with us about the psychology and physiology of yoga. Welcome, Steve.
Hey, Mara. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, so good to have you back. So how are things there in Westchester? We're having a big storm here.
Yeah, it's not too bad. A little bit of a overcast drizzle kind of thing going on.
Okay. Well, if we get cut off at all, you know that it's because of the thunderstorm.
Okay, no worries.
Forewarn. So for people who haven't heard you on this program before and haven't gone, can you give our listeners a little bit of information about your background?
Sure. I'm a father of a soon-to-be 19-year-old daughter and a 22-year-old son. I run a creative agency that does work in medical education and web technology. And then I also teach yoga at a studio in Tarrytown called Yoga Shivaya. And in addition to just teaching, you know, a weekly class, I have a workshop on using yoga to cultivate happiness in our everyday lives that our talks together have been kind of an offshoot of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the last time you were on, you talking yoga being the source of bliss, and that seemed to be related a lot with quiet, being able to quiet our minds.
Right. Yeah, that was a great program. I do think that you know, the source of bliss is within. So we really explored that kind of in detail last time. But this idea of yoga being about quieting the mind goes all the way back to Patanjali, who wrote the Yoga Sutras, which is one of the masterworks of yoga. It's written about 2,500 years ago. And, you know, I remember the first time I saw this, the first four lines have a lot of impact. It starts with, "Now the teachings of yoga. Yoga is to still the patterning of consciousness. Then pure awareness can abide in its very nature. Otherwise, awareness takes itself to be the patterns of consciousness." So what this is saying, essentially, is you are not your thoughts. You know, and I was really kind of blown away by this idea. That was the first time I was ever kind of confronted with it, like, head on like that. And, you know, so if you kind of accept that, you know, if that's one of the reasons why we do yoga, you know, then it speaks to this idea that yoga is a way of gaining control of your state of consciousness. You can start to disconnect from the constant chatter of your mind and instead reconnect with this deeper, more blissful state of consciousness that we all carry within. And over time, as you build this awareness in your practice, you become less and less ruled by your thoughts, and that more blissful state just becomes kind of like your regular way of being.
Nice. That's a nice...
Right. Sounds good, right?
And I like that, you know, that what you just said about we are not our thoughts, because I talk about that a lot with my clients, about, you know, we are not our thoughts. And some people are shocked when I say that, you know.
Right.
That our thoughts are not necessarily the truth or real.
Right, because it can really rule you. You know, if we all have had that experience of just your thoughts kind of running away with you, or, you know, getting in a cycle of thought that you just, you know, you're kind of a dog chasing your own tail and you just can't escape it. And it can be really frustrating, and, you know, can obviously, from, you know, your psychology practice, it can be, you know, a source of neuroses. So, you know, yoga's prescription is instead to try to help build this mind-body connection. And, you know, as you start to do your physical practice, you can kind of get a leverage point on your consciousness. You know, you can start to ask yourself questions like, can I find more of a sense of ease in this pose? Or can I hold this pose for just one more breath without efforting? Can I surrender and relax a little bit more deeply into sensation? Or can I quiet my mind and just be? And, you know, ultimately it kind of leads you to this, you know, can I stop striving and let the universe guide me? And it's just a different way of being, you know. You know, not to say that you should, you know, you shouldn't always be in this state of being, but it's a relief from that, you know, chatter that can really drag you down. And, you know, this process is called pratyahara, withdrawal of the senses, which is basically turning your awareness from the outside world to the inside world, which is this creates a gateway to connecting on a deeper level with the self. So, you know, again, kind of instead of being ruled by your thoughts, you instead connect to what does my breath feel like, what does my body feel like, you know, what is it like just to be in this moment, and, you know, then this other state of awareness kind of blossoms out of that.
Right, right. And last time you talked about how this was a way of cultivating bliss.
Yeah, exactly. They say that your level of serenity is inversely proportional to your level of expectation. So, you know, this is a practice of cultivating serenity. You know, just letting go of, you know, thoughts of the past or the future, you know, plans or goals, and, you know, just practicing being. And so one of the things that I've become interested in, so like, you know, I've experienced this other state of consciousness in my practice, but, you know, as I'm reading the paper, I've just kind of been following how modern research is proving how closely tied this mind-body connection is, and that there are all kinds of interesting and unexpected benefits of these mindfulness practices. So, for instance, there's research that shows that complaining all the time actually rewires your brain to be more efficiently unhappy. So realizing that there's something that you'd like to do, your brain just tries to make those connections. So, you know, like if every time somebody cuts you off on the highway, you get bent out of shape, you know, keep doing that. You know,
uh-huh.
So, like over time, what your brain has done now is it's basically hardwired, you know, that knee-jerk, frustrated reaction when something like that is going on, you know, because it's trying to be more efficient, you know, but in this case, it's, you know, creating efficiency around an unhappy event.
Right, right.
So, you know, there's also research showing that if you feel more balanced physically, so like you actually have better balance physically, you also feel more balanced in your interpersonal relationships.
Hmm.
So, right, isn't that? I thought that was really fascinating.
Yeah. So you mean like doing something like tree pose? Can
exactly.
Help your, wow.
Right. So if you feel more stable, you feel more physically stable, then you also feel more stable in interpersonal relationships. You feel less easily thrown off balance by whatever is going on. And I think that, you know, I think some of this goes all the way back to this idea that there's, you know, I think it was Aristotle, forgive me if I'm wrong, was, you know, this kind of mind-body separation. But the mind-body is really well integrated. So, you know, and there's also this idea of resilience, which I think we talked about before, that, you know, the more quickly that you can reconnect to your body and your breath during moments of stress, the more quickly you can recover from stress. And
right.
So, you know, and that idea, you know, your ability to recover quickly from stress is this concept of resilience. So elite athletes use this, you know, that even if they have just a few seconds between, you know, whatever they're doing, they can, you know, kind of gather themselves quickly in order to get back in the game. You know, but even just a few minutes a day of conscious breathing can help the rest of us build resilience. So, you know, another example of, you know, kind of how connection, awareness of your body and your breath can help you kind of master your state of consciousness. So, you know, just practice a little bit of conscious breathing and then, you know, you'll be a little bit less stressed out.
Right, right. And that all, I think, all makes sense on a very, I'm trying to find the word. Like, I think we can all feel like that makes sense, right? Like, that it's practical. If you can breathe and calm down, then you can be resilient to the things going on around you.
Right, yeah, I mean, that's a little bit more kind of common sense. But some of the, you
right,
know, some of these other ones are,
yeah, but
you know,
some of the other ones are not, right? Like,
yeah, not as obvious, right.
Yeah.
I think it's just a reminder that we're in an integrated system, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And to that, to the extent that we are an integrated system, you know, having, you know, if you can't master your thoughts by mastering either your breath or, you know, returning to the awareness of the sensations of your body, you can get a leverage point on your thoughts. You know what I mean? Like you can work one of the other systems in order to, you know, kind of keep your thoughts from spinning out of control. Or,
right.
You know, on the other end of the spectrum, you know, just enjoy life more by being more present, you know, feeling more blissful in each moment. And then, you know, people who really master this, there's research that shows where monks have been able to achieve an alpha state where their bodies are generating these neurocorticoids, which have healing effects, and that other monks can have practiced a loving kindness meditation, that when they, you know, scan their brains, they get the same kind of response as somebody who feels really well loved. So just by, you know, meditating on loving kindness, mm-hmm. you know, they're, you know, developing a you know, feeling of, you know, just being completely blissed out.
Right. So can this also, just by, you know, doing this, just by practicing yoga or meditation, can that give us a sense of well-being throughout our day?
Yeah, like I said earlier, I think it becomes the new normal. You know, I think mm-hmm. I think that I think it was one of the things that drew me back to yoga originally was this feeling of bliss, and then I started to realize I could start to thread that feeling of bliss into the rest of my life. You know, I'm not, you know, at the point where that's always normal, that I never get frustrated or that I'm never like kind of knocked off kilter, but more and more, you know, I'm just content to be. And I think it's a practice. I think that, you know, in many ways for me, that's really what yoga is about. You know, the word yoga is sometimes translated as yoke, meaning yoking your mind to your body and your breath.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or to put that more colloquially, like, that purpose of yoga isn't for getting a tight ass, it's for getting your head out of your ass.
Okay. I like that.
I like that too. You know, I think from one of these talks, we also talked about this idea about how life happens now, but our minds are constantly pulling us away from this present moment. And Lao Tzu said that when you live in your past, you have depression, but when you live in the future, you have anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the idea of yoking your mind to your body and your breath is to do neither, to be present, because the sensations of your body and the sensations of your breath are happening now. So they ground you in this moment and tether your mind to this moment, where your mm-hmm. mind is always wanting to race away. So there's a Buddhist teaching that speaks to this, which is yesterday is a memory, tomorrow is the unknown, now is the knowing.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
So this idea
right.
that, you know, life is happening now. This moment is the moment that's worthy of your attention.
Right. Right.
So, you know, going back to the research part of it, there's some other really interesting research which has proved that the memory of the thing is just the last time you remembered it, not the original event.
Wow.
Right, which is really trippy.
Mm-hmm.
So each time you remember something, you're actually altering the kind of the narrative. So, you know, your memories themselves are just artifacts of your mind. They're not, they're not true recollections of the original event, and you're thinking about it, you know, so your opinions about, you know, what an event might mean actually alter the memory, so that, you know, maybe over time you've shaped, you know, what might have been a positive memory into a negative one, or vice versa.
Right. And I believe you, because that was something somewhat related to what my doctoral dissertation was about.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, how we are easily suggestible. Our memories are easily changed by whether it's our emotion or something that somebody else suggests to us.
Right. Well, very cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you know it from that angle as well. So
yeah.
So you know. So what does that really mean? Is, you know, in many ways, reality is what you believe it to be. And there's research that shows that, you know, 40% of your sense of well-being is not situational. It's really your mental attitude about that situation that's, you know, affecting your sense of well-being.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, choosing to see your life is a glass that's half full or half empty, will obviously affect, you know, how you feel about life.
Right.
You know,
right.
Or, you know, people talk about practicing gratitude. But, you know, there's, in all sorts of research, I'm sure you've seen that, about how mindfulness practices can increase happiness and how happiness can increase longevity. You
mm-hmm.
know, so that, you know, that just your thinking about your situation or your optimism, you know, as well as the physical practices themselves, how, you know, strengthening practices can increase longevity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all things that kind of move you towards this sense of being, you know, a more fully embodied whole, you know, that you're, you know, we spoke about purpose as well, but, you know, they're all kind of interconnected, you know, that sense of well-being is just being supported on all fronts with the physical practice, with, you know, the practice of being present, the practices of, you know, being more mindful about your thinking and, you know, it all connects into this, you know, a sense of well-being.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I have a question about that. So doing the practice of actually going into the different postures.
Right.
Does that bring us to the present moment more easily?
Yeah, that's why, you know, there's this, the physical practice and also the, you know, pranayama, the breathing practices, are ways of grounding us. But there's also just kind of working the kinks out, you know. I mean, the way yoga was originally designed was really just to get the body ready for meditation so that you could sit quietly and quiet the mind. You know, we've really focused on the physical practice in the way yoga is taught in the United States, but there are entire yoga practices that, you know, don't even involve, you know, asana or the physical practice. You know, where you sit and meditate, or, you know, like I was talking about the monks meditating on loving kindness, or, you know, practicing good works and stuff. But, you know, I think that... you know, one of the reasons why this is so effective is that, you know, it's not really the way we're designed as a species, you know, to just sit in a resting state of bliss. And it goes back, for me, it goes back to Freud. You can correct me if, you know, I'm misquoting Freud here, but this,
okay.
You know, the idea that, you know, the desire of the id and the demands of the ego, you know, are kind of working against each other. And that the superego needs to constantly resolve these often unconscious inner conflicts. You know, you want another piece of chocolate cake, but you're worried about getting fat or what somebody will think of you. And that these conflicts are constantly beneath the surface of our awareness, creating a lot of unnoticed stress.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, which... You know, going back to the yoga practice, you know, you're kind of doing the opposite. You're saying, you know, I'm just going to be here in this moment with my body and with my breath, and you're going to kind of reconnect your psyche, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for most of us, you know, what we're doing is we're going through our days, we're stressed out, you know, maybe we're behind schedule, work is challenging, our home lives are challenging. You know, these subconscious conflicts are happening beneath the waterline. A lot of times we don't have the time to pay attention to them. And then at the end of the day, you know, after being surrounded by all the stress, you know, you're trying to relax on the weekend and, you know, your boss calls you and you feel like you're being attacked, you know, so your body
mm-hmm.
basically has a fight or flight response. Because, you know, your body doesn't know that this isn't an actual assault, and you just feel threatened by that phone call, you know, before you even pick it up. So, you know, all of this stress can lead to a host of health problems, and we're on
mm-hmm.
edge because our bodies react to all the stimuli, even though most of it isn't even a real threat. And then at the end of the day, we're exhausted, you know, just from all of this stimulation. And,
right.
You know, instead of learning how to relax and unwind, you know, and heal, you know, for a lot of us, what we do is we turn to more stimulation in order to de-stress. So, you know, at the end of the day, what are we doing? We're, you know, we're texting, we're watching TV or playing video games or overeating or drinking or, you know, drug use, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
Anything to get out of our own heads for a while. But, you know, ultimately that's not really helping. You know, really what helps more is to learn just to de-stress, you know, to return to this present moment and quiet.
Right, right. So yoga helped you with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it brings us back to that "you are not your mind" quote from Patanjali.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of adding more stimulus to occupy an already overburdened psyche, you know, you look to quiet your mind and build this awareness of just being content in this moment.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like yoga is really about integrating the mind, the body, and the breath in this moment.
Exactly.
Okay.
And, you know, there's research that's shown that the vagus nerve, which is a giant nerve cluster that connects the body to the gut,
mm-hmm.
You know, has 80% of the fibers in that are efferent, which means that they move from the gut to the brain rather than vice versa. So, you know, basically what that means is as all of these stresses are hitting your system, you know, the source of a lot of that information is actually happening in your gut. So, you know, you're reacting physically to life stress. And, you know, it goes back to your question about how does movement help, that, you know, that because the physical body is the one that's kind of taking the hit, undoing a lot of that stress needs to happen physically, you know, that you can only address so much of it, you know, by whatever, talk therapy or whatever. So, you know, there's an argument for movement being important in order just to, you know, again, you know, work the kinks out and de-stress. And there's actually, you know, chemical components to that stress that get built up and can be released through movement.
Right.
And then, you know, there's, you know, so we're talking basically about the sympathetic nervous system, which is your body's fight or flight response to stress. And then, you know, yoga engages the parasympathetic nervous system, which is your bliss state, this kind of resting state of calm underneath
mm-hmm.
you know, overstimulation, you know. And, you know, not only can yoga help you reduce stress, but it also can reconnect you to this resting state of well-being, you know, this recognition that this moment is perfect just the way it is.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I like that, and I talk about that a lot, and that, you know, that deep down at the center of us is that feeling of peacefulness and bliss. It's just kind of covered over by all the stress.
Exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this is a way of reconnecting to that, getting through the all that stuff on top.
Right. Yeah, it's a remembering, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that mm-hmm. I think that was one of the things we talked about last time, was this idea of just like, you know, remember that perfect day when you're a child, when you're just happy to be alive? You know, like that's still in there. You know, that sense of just joy and wonder, you know, we all carry that with us. We've just forgotten how to reconnect with it,
mm-hmm.
because we've just, you know, taken on, you know, greater and greater burdens of responsibility and stress.
Right. Right. So So in the few minutes that we have left, do you have any final thoughts for listeners?
Yeah, sure. For starters, I think that this is, something that you can practice every day. It doesn't take that long. You know, when you're feeling stressed, just take a few moments to check in. You know, close your eyes, reconnect with your body, and try to take 3 long, slow, conscious breaths. And, you know, that sense of well-being can start to feel like your new normal. You know, the more you check in, you can start to feel, you know, whole again. I'd say that, you also, I think it makes sense to, you know, move towards those moments where you can find quiet, you know, rather than, you know, looking for more stimulation to de-stress like we spoke about earlier, you know.
Right.
Maybe you like to garden or, you know, just sit out on your porch and look at the sunset or, you know, whatever it is, find a few moments of quiet. And that can really help a lot.
Mhm. Mhm. So if people are interested in taking your yoga class, if they're up in Westchester area, or if they want to find out about your Art of Happiness workshop, how can they do that?
Sure. I teach at Yoga Shivaya in Tarrytown, which is yogashivaya.com, YOGASHIVAYA. And you can reach out to me at kanesteve@me.com, kanesteve@me.com, regarding my class or, wanting to do the workshop. And, I think these, you know, small practices start to move you towards, you know, this sense of, you know, feeling less stressed and more of a feeling of well-being and, learning to quiet your mind and kind of getting some leverage on that. It can be really powerful. It can really be, you know, life-changing in aggregate. It really starts to add up.
Mm-hmm. And we all need that these days.
Absolutely. Don't get me started.
Yeah. So just doing it every day, like you said, it adds up. Even if at the beginning you don't feel it, right?
Yeah, I think maybe at first it might not be obvious that it's having an effect, but I think that this process of just checking in, you can also just start to realize the things that are really toxic, like the kinds of stress that you just don't really want in your life. You know, if you're just willing to kind of listen inward a little bit more, and then you start moving towards the things that, you know, give you more joy and you feel more at ease with, and you start to move away from the things that, you know, don't do those things for you, right?
Right.
Or creating toxic levels of stress.
Yeah, yeah. You make different decisions.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much again, Steve, for coming on the program.
It's always a pleasure.
Yes, it always is, so you'll have to come back again.
All right, well, and good luck with your book tour.
All right, sounds great.
All right, Mara.
Have a good evening. Bye-bye. All right, so we're going to take a quick break, and we have a lot more to come when we come back, so don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Worried about memory loss? Dr. Ronald DeVere, certified neurologist and director of Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders in Lakeway, has been helping those with dementia and memory loss for over 12 years, specializing in the diagnosis, treatment, and counseling of those with memory loss and dementia. Dr. DeVere also has a book to reduce your worry and fear by knowing the facts. Memory loss, everything you want to know but forget to ask, available now on Amazon.com. Dr. Ronald DeVere, Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders center in Lakeway, and his book, Memory Loss, everything you want to know but forget to ask. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call 512-261-7909.
Are you or a loved one a Medicare beneficiary? Help save you and Medicare money by stopping Medicare fraud. Fraud happens when Medicare is billed for services or supplies you never receive. There are three easy things you can do to fight fraud. Review your Medicare claims for accuracy, protect your personal information, and be on the lookout for suspicious activity. For more information or to report fraud, call Medicare at 1-800-MEDICARE or your local SHIP counselor at the Area Agency on Aging at 1-800-252-9240. Please visit us on the web at www.drmaricarpell.com.
And we are back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Carpell in your golden years, Blog Talk Radio and live stream and podcast at drmaracarpell.com. And so before I talk about my topic, which is about finding self-love and being able to spread that in the world, which I think really dovetails very well with what Steve was just talking about. Before I talk about that, let me just fill you in on some news. So as I mentioned previously, Art is uploading some of the YouTube videos of the interviews that I've done with guests on this program who have been live in the studio since the beginning of 2016. So it's a process, and so it takes a while. So we're getting them one by one uploaded. So if you go to YouTube and put in a search for Dr. Mara Carpell, then you'll be able to find the videos. And I have uploaded the ones that have been uploaded so far to YouTube to my website. You can go to my website, drmaracarpell.com, and click on video. Also, if you're a regular listener here, then you know that I am a regular contributor to Arianna Huffington's online magazine, ThriveGlobal.com, and my latest blog was just published on Wednesday, May 31st, so I got it in there for the month of May, and that one was about reconnecting with your center. So we talked just now with Steve about that, and I talk in that video, I write about various ways of reconnecting with your center, and about what I've been doing. So this is a process I've been going through to reconnect with my center during these fast-moving whirlwind times. We can all get a little bit thrown off kilter, and it's really important to find a way back to our center so that we don't get sick. I think that's really, you know, bottom line is that when you get stressed out, it leads to physical illness. And, you know, it's really important to try to avoid that and to continue to feel happy, because that's what we want in life, is to feel happy. And you can read all of my Thrive Global blogs by going to my website, drmaracarpell.com, and click on blogs or publications, and all of those will be there, including the latest one. Or if you go to thriveglobal.com and just search for my name. And you can also read my Huffington Post blog as well on my website. And my book is moving along. It's in the next exciting phase toward publication. As Steve mentioned, he wants to catch my book tour. Well, hopefully that will happen. We're very soon. We're shooting for publication in the fall. And if you follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Carpell, Your Golden Years, you'll find out all the latest about what's happening with the book. And any information that I can relate to you, I will stay connected for more news, because there are some more things happening that I think that you'd be interested in. And I will be posting about that as soon as I'm able to. All right. So this really dovetails with what talking about in terms of finding, using yoga as a way to reconnect with our center and to be able to find happiness and peace. And so I wanted to kind of, and it goes along with the blog that I just published about reconnecting to the peace at our center. But I started thinking about it today
And I was feeling like this is all connected to self-love, being able to, when we get into that state of bliss, as Steve had talked about, that feeling at our center, that when we remember that feeling of bliss, we also start to love ourselves more. You know, we stop criticizing ourselves and stop putting ourselves down for our faults, and remember that we're human and we're all fallible human beings and we're still lovable. And when we have that kind of self-love, which I don't mean in terms of a narcissistic kind of self-love where we boast about ourselves or think that we're better than anyone else, because that's not really true self-love. That's making up for feeling inferior. When people are boastful, they usually don't feel very good about themselves. When you feel good about yourself, you don't feel like you have to put yourself above other people. Then we can start, when that true self-love, where we don't have to put ourselves above other people, we start to spread that love to other people, because we realize that we're all on the same level, and we have, when we feel love for ourselves, we want to love other people and spread that. And it was kind of interesting, because this morning I downloaded yesterday the Barefoot Doctor, who was on this program, and you know, I've written about him in my book and quoted him many times in my blog. He has a new online training class, and his main thing is Qigong. So he has different trainings, and so I started to do his latest one, which is I think it's called Stay Strongo Qigongo. So I did some yoga, and then I did his second class for this 14-day training. And one of the things that he mentioned, which was really interesting, and I hadn't heard it put this way before, was that a Taoist way of seeing things, which is the Tao is what is what Lao Tzu taught about way back many centuries ago, and that's who Steve quoted Lao Tzu, is the Tao is just the way, it's hard to put it into words, it is the universe, basically, and that's what Qigong is based on, the Taoist teachings. And so the belief is that we are conduits for love and positive energy. And some of the poses in Qigong, and I bet this also translates to yoga, is to bring the love and the power of the universe through us, from above us, down through our bodies into the ground, and to bring the power and the love from the ground up through our feet and through our body and back up to the sky and what's above us. And so, and he actually put it in terms of that is our job, that is our purpose, and that we're spreading love by doing that. And the other part of this that he talked about that kind of made me think about this whole self-love, and that's our purpose in life is to find that bliss within us and spread it. And we know we really need that right now. I think what's happening in the world is a reflection of the fact that a lot of people have forgotten that center of themselves and that bliss, and they're feeling stressed out and blaming other people, and so, you know, acting in violent ways, physically or even verbally, and it's a very dark way of seeing the world, and it's not reality. It's not really reality. The reality is that we each have that core of light and bliss and peacefulness and love within us, and so if we can connect to that, then we realize that our job is to spread it. And so at the end of this lesson that the barefoot doctor taught, he talks about, you know, you're shaking your body out because you've been holding this pose for a while, and you walk, you shuffle around in a counterclockwise circle. And what he says is that symbolizes to yourself and to your psyche that you're getting rid of old ways of thinking and old habits that longer serve you. And then after you do that, you circle around slowly to clockwise. And in circling clockwise, and this is the thing that struck me, you're giving yourself the message that you accept yourself and love yourself with all of your faults. And the way that he is, you're accepting, this is the way that I roll. I roll the way I roll, and that's okay. And we sometimes do things that are kind of screwy. Sometimes the way we roll hurts other people and hurts ourselves. So if we can accept ourselves, then what happens is the way that we roll starts to just naturally change. And when we love ourselves and accept all of our faults, the way that we are actually starts to change, and we start to roll in a different way, that maybe we stop doing those things that are hurtful to ourselves or the people around us. And that makes sense, because when we love ourselves, we want to take good care of ourselves. We don't want to hurt ourselves. And when we love ourselves in a real authentic way, we know that people around us are also lovable and are even with all of their quirkiness and faults, and that we don't want to hurt them. We want to love them. And so I think reconnecting to your center, as Steve Kane was just talking about through meditation and yoga, is a very powerful way of reconnecting to your center. But however you reconnect to your center, whether it's through that or through Qigong, like the barefoot doctor teaches, or using artwork as your meditation, however you really quiet your mind and get to your center, then you start to connect with that bliss and that self-love, and you start making better decisions, like Steve had just said, and you start rolling better, as the barefoot doctor put it, that you start to make better decisions, and you start treating yourself with love and treating other people with love. And then that spreads, because when people are treated with love, they start to love themselves more, and they start to spread it. So that's the other part of this, is one of the ways of increasing your own self-love is by choosing to be around people who act in loving ways towards themselves and towards you. And I don't mean that just somebody who flatters you, but I mean people who are authentic in their kindness and in their own self-love, that they are good role models for us, and staying away from people who are toxic, who treat us meanly, helps us to love ourselves. And when we love ourselves, we make the choice that we don't really want to be around people who don't treat us well. Who wants to be around that? So all of this kind of spreads. So it's not about just yourself anymore. You know, we kind of have a job to do. We have a job of being conduit of love by finding our center and finding our self-love. So, you know, I've written about this, about how to find self-love, and I've spoken about it, but some other ways of loving ourselves, because a lot of people have a really hard time with this. This is not easy to love ourselves, but it's really, really important, because we really can't truly, authentically love other people until we love ourselves. It's a very important piece of the puzzle. Without it, we make bad choices in our life with people that we spend time with or the way that we behave toward them. So one of the things, one other thing besides engaging in some sort of meditation or either moving meditation or just sitting meditation is also to treat yourself like you're worthy right now, even if you don't believe it yet. So that means eating healthy, taking care of yourself physically, eating healthy, exercising, doing all of the things that you know are good for you. And, you know, people who eat food that's bad for them, knowing that that food is bad for them, don't really feel good about themselves. So if you're, for example, eating a lot of sugar, most people know that sugar in large quantities is unhealthy. And if you have physical illnesses like diabetes, it's even more unhealthy. But eating that sugar anyway is giving yourself the message that you don't really care about yourself. So starting to eat healthy, even before you have started to believe that you're worthwhile, eating like you're worthwhile, exercising, doing all of the things that are good for you, start to help you to feel better about yourself. And then taking steps to follow your dreams, doing things that, you know, taking the steps to do the things that you really want to do in your life and to create what you want in your life, even no matter how old you are, even if you're retired, following your dreams gives yourself a message that you're worthy of it, that you love yourself, you want your dreams to come true. And when we follow our dreams, we contribute to creating a more beautiful world. And do something every day that makes you feel good, that you enjoy. So whether it's listening to music that you enjoy or reading something inspiring or going for a walk in the park, being out in nature, doing something that makes you feel good and is still healthy helps to increase your feeling of self-love. And turning off that negative, derogatory self-talk. Maybe do what the Barefoot Doctor said. Whenever you start to find yourself in that spiral of negative self-talk, then walk around in a circle counterclockwise, giving yourself the message that you're letting go of all of that old negative self-talk, and then walk around clockwise, giving yourself the message that you accept everything about yourself. And that doesn't mean that you're not going to change something, but you accept it right now because this is how you are right now. And as you accept it, you know that things will change, that bad habits will improve to be better habits. But stop the negative self-talk because that just defeats your own sense of self, and it makes it difficult for you to love anybody else. So I'm going to stop there. We're going to take a two-minute break, and when we come back, Lori Galazunas is going to be reporting in from Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Watch me send it, he lies in his hammock, teaches stories how to live, and he knows how to live. Yeah.
Hear the thunder high in that mountain. Watch the clouds rolling in. Senorita, they dance on that shoreline, making plans for that kiss. And they know how to kiss. They say that we're 1 hour behind. But the senoritas, they keep us in time. That poppy CT just blows through my mind. It takes me back to my place. Punta Mita time.
And we're back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel in your golden years on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream on podcast at drmarakarpel.com. And now joining us once again from Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, we have Laura Gelizunez. Good evening,
Hello.
Laura. Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you? You're at a party right now, huh?
I'm at a 70th birthday party.
Very nice.
Yeah.
How's the weather there?
Weather's perfect, about 85 degrees. Mostly cloudy today, this afternoon, actually.
You're so meteorologist.
Lots of kids in the swimming pool, and things are good.
Your meteorologist background is coming out.
Partly cloudy, 85, dew point at about 72.
So
always
what's
analyzing.
What's that?
Always analyzing the weather.
Now, we are having a thunderstorm, which we seem to be having every time we go on the radio these days. So
of course.
If we get cut off or anything like that because of our thunderstorm, it stopped for a while, but now I hear it rumbling in the distance again.
Oh, goodness.
So what's been going on these days in Vallarta? Is it much mellower down there right now?
Yeah, lots mellower. Most of the snowbirds have left, obviously, for the summer season. The diehards are still living here. But there's still lots of things going on. There's, you know, charity organizations to work with. We have the Friday Foodies group. The expats in Vallarta are still very active. So there's plenty, you know. If you look for it, there's plenty of stuff to do here for people who are coming down. I mean, the weather is still great. Like I said, you know, the high temperature today was 85. You know, it's a bit more humid, but, you know, if you're living somewhere in the Midwest or southern states, this is nothing. So,
right.
Yeah, and the rainy season, rains haven't started yet, so we're kind of looking forward to that as we head into the summer months.
Mm-hmm.
So from that aspect, you know, really great weather, relaxed atmosphere.
So during the rainy season, does it rain all day?
No, it only rains typically in the evenings, late afternoon, evenings.
Right.
Usually only rains for, you know, just like, you know, compared to what would happen in southern Florida. You know, just
yeah,
the afternoon,
say,
evening
like
rain.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So same type of thing, and, you know, obviously we do have days where it rains all day, but for the most part, no, just in the afternoons, evenings, and then it's, you know, cools it off, makes everything fresh, and, you know, the evening is your own then, so.
Right. Okay. So it's really not a bad time to be down there.
No, definitely not. I mean, as far as, you know, having lived here for 15 years now, I think the worst month weather-wise is September. I find it oppressive and, you know, there's no rain, the humidity is super high, and no relief. So,
right.
The rest of the
right.
summer is usually pretty, it's not too bad. You know, I still haven't even turned on my air conditioning yet, so.
Wow. Okay. That's pretty good.
It takes a lot for me to turn on my air, but it's not that bad yet.
I've had my air conditioning on for months already.
You know, for me, it takes a lot for it to be really hot for me to turn on the air. So it hasn't, you know, most of the people don't have, like, oh, no, you got a good breeze. You you know, May tends to be a breezier month than others, and, you know, it's just pleasant.
So in terms of activities, we have the Friday Foodies going on all summer. And,
all summer is the Friday Foodies, yeah, which is really kind of fun. And the groups have been large. I mean, compared to when it first started a couple of years ago where we had 10 people, now there's like 35, 40 people that come to a Friday Foodies, and which is really kind of good because it's the low season or slower season for businesses. So, you know, we can come in and say, hey, we got 35 people coming. And then now what some of the restaurants are doing are offering like a set menu. They're like, you get three courses, choices for each course, and it's a set price. So that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good way to meet other people that live here year-round, which is important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, a great way to support local businesses as well.
Very nice. And food is always fun anyway.
Oh, yeah.
It's always
it's
fun to go
universal.
Out and eat on a Friday night. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And,
so it's pretty cool.
And you said the expats in Vallarta are busy during the summer?
They are not as busy as they are, obviously, as in high season, but they are still, they have happy hours at local restaurants. They have coffee clutches. I don't think they call it a coffee clutch, but that's what I call it. Coffees in the morning at different, you know, coffee shops and that around town. So good way to meet people that are, you know, thinking about moving to Vallarta full or part-time and connecting. So that's a good way to meet other people. And they, you know, like I said, they're not quite as active during the summer months, but they are still pretty active.
Right, right. And there's always different groups to different charity groups, right?
The charity group, you know, people who come down here and say, I'm bored, I'm like, you're not trying. Because there's at least 30 charities that you can, you know, donate your time to. And it can be anything from helping the charity with their website or their social media or picking it up and delivering supplies or donations. So, you know, you don't have to directly be involved, but you can be peripherally involved. And, you know, maybe it's picking up dog food donations from Costco and delivering them to the dog pound. You know, things like that that, you know, you may not associate, you know, oh, I don't want to work, you know, I don't want to walk the dogs every week. But, hey, you know, they have a donation thing set up at Costco that you go pick up 30 bags of dog food or whatever and deliver them to the dog pound. You know, so it can be little stuff, it can be big stuff, and you can be as involved or as disinvolved as you like.
Right.
You know, you want to teach English, you want to teach, you know, you want to do other things, that's certainly a possibility as well.
Another good way to meet people.
Oh, for sure. It's, you know, finding people that have similar interests as you, you know, who are English speakers. I'm at a birthday party today, and there's a lawyer here, you know, a Mexican lawyer, and she's like, I need to practice my English, you need to practice your Spanish, so now we're going to get together once a week to do that.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, it's meeting people, you know, reaching out and saying, hey, you know, I need to brush up on these, you know, my language skills and, you know, connecting with the local community. So many times I find expats come down here and they only hang out with other expats. I'm like, you really kind of need to meet the Mexicans. You know, those people who are, you know, interested in meeting you and, you know, connecting with them like I just did here today.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a great experience, and it's, you know, multicultural, and, you know, everybody can help everybody in some small way. So just a matter of reaching out to other people in your community. You know, after all, I'm living in Mexico, I need Mexican friends.
Right. So it's not just being in another warm spot, you know. It's actually realizing that you're living in another country and connecting with the culture and the people in that country.
Yeah. We just had a whole discussion today on the weirdness of the English language. all the extra letters and vowels that don't make sense. In Spanish, everything you say it as you see it. So phonetically,
right.
Spanish is better already.
Right, right. In English, we have a lot of exceptions to the rule.
You got a lot. There's a lot of, because many times we were talking, it's like, yeah, I know Mexicans, they can speak Spanish. I mean, speak English, but they can't write it because the spelling is just horrific. You know, why is knife K-N-I-F-E? Should be knife,
mm-hmm.
N-I-F.
Right.
So things like that. So that, you know, but, you know, just connecting with people that speak another language is really, I find it very intriguing. And
yeah, and, you know, I've had a guest on this program who teaches French. She's from France. And she teaches French to older adults. And she talked
uh-huh.
about the benefits to your brain by learning another
mm-hmm.
language. So it actually, the research has shown that it helps to fend off dementia when you learn another language.
Right.
So it's actually
really
good for you.
Mm-hmm. And learning Spanish, I mean, so many of the words are the same. Pronounce them differently.
Right, right. And how fun to be able to communicate with somebody in another language.
Mm-hmm. You know, we're speaking Spanglish, we're speaking Spanish, we're speaking English, we're speaking Spanglish. It's all kind of just melds together. And the fact that people can go between two languages fast is just, I just think it's great.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, talking about cultural differences and
mm-hmm.
you know, from people who are Mexican and like, why do you guys do this? And we're like, well, and why do you do this? And it goes back and forth and it's, you know, but it's just learning the other culture, you know, why are things like that? And
right.
It's
right.
been a very enlightening afternoon.
It sounds it. So Laura, we're running out of time, but I want to make sure to get in it, you know, if people are interested in finding out what is going on in Puerto Vallarta, where can they go?
They can go to banderasnews.com, BanderasNews.com. It's the largest website in Banderas Bay and the only one that is updated daily. So
and
anything you want to know is there.
And if they're interested in looking at a place to buy for next high season, where can they do that?
Oh, they can certainly contact me.
Uh-huh.
And you can find me at PuertoVallartaCondosForSale.com.
Okay. I will post both of those on my website. So Laura, enjoy the rest of the party. Thanks for
I will. The kids are in the pool splashing. You know, you gotta love little
so
kids
fun.
In swimming pools.
So, thanks for taking a break in the party to join us for this evening's program. And
not a problem.
And are you available in 2 weeks?
Of course.
To be back? Okay. Well, then we will speak with you again in 2 weeks.
Okay. Have a great evening.
All right, you too. Have a good evening.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, so we're going to take a brief break. We're going to play some music from our next guest. And when we come back, Brett Marshall will be joining us. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Love to get you on a slow boat to China, all to myself alone. Get you and keep you in my arms evermore. Leave all your lovers weeping on the faraway shore. Out on the briny with that moon. shiny, melting your heart of stone. I love to get you on a slow boat to China, all to myself alone. La na 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 la na na la na na na. Get you and keep you in my
Dr. Mara Karpel in your golden years, right here on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream and podcast, the drmarakarpel.com. And we were just listening to the beautiful music of our next guest, who is joining us from South Padre Island, Texas, musician and singer Brett Marshall. Good evening, Brett.
Good evening. Nice to hear from you.
Yeah. Can you just to remind you, there's a slight delay when we talk like this.
Good to know. Thank you.
So how are things in South Texas?
They're going very well. I am enjoying what I do as a musician here, as a freelance musician here in the lower Rio Grande Valley of Texas.
Mm-hmm. So maybe you can give our listeners a little bit of information about your musical background.
Oh, yeah, sure. I did grow up, actually, in a little town in South Texas, not this far south, and had been influenced by my dad. He was a pharmacist, but he actually played trumpet when he was younger, and I was influenced musically by him and a band director throughout my years. And so I ended up very closely knit with music, studied piano at Baylor University, and had been involved in numerous jobs. But I'd say over the last decade, I actually have become doing what I love, which is being a freelance musician, as well as a local church musician. So it's great, playing for private party special events at restaurants. I put on a couple of concerts during the winter over on South Padre Island with my jazz quartet.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I do a lot of stuff by myself, and as well as a 5-piece cover band, and I've been able to do some recordings over the years. So it's been a real joy.
Yeah. So where do you play these days? Where are your regular gigs?
My weekly gigs, I have been playing at Post Casino Restaurant in Brownsville, Texas, every Thursday starting at 7:30 p.m., and on Fridays, I've usually been pretty consistently been playing at this Harlingen Country Club restaurant, and I've been alternating some at another country club restaurant. And Saturdays lately have been a little bit more involved with both weddings and private events, both with either myself or my band. But I'm also playing at Italian restaurants some in Brownsville on Saturdays. And my favorite gig actually is on Tuesday nights, downtown Brownsville, at a coffee shop called El Hueso de Fraile. And they have live music there every night, and my slot is on Tuesday evenings with my jazz quartet, with bass, guitar. Of course, I play piano and sing, and we've got a trumpet player. And that's a thrill for me. Love it. We do a lot together.
Nice. It sounds like you're really busy.
Yeah.
That's great. That's a great thing for a musician.
Yes, it is.
So I just want to tell you, we're having a bit of a storm here. So if we get knocked off the air, you'll understand, just as a forewarning. We seem to have stormy weather every time we go on the air these days. So Brett, we just played one of your songs, Slow Boat to China. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, I can. Actually, that's some of my recordings that I've done. I have a lot of covers of old songs that, you know, maybe came out in the 30s, 40s, maybe a few in the 50s and 60s. But a lot of what are called standards from the Great American Songbook, and that happens to be one of them. And when I was making my recording called Facets, that was one of the songs that I had chose that I thought would be fun to do my own arrangement of that to put on there. And on that particular album, I think I have 9 originals and 5 covers, and Slow Boat to China happens to be one of those covers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. We're going to play another one of your songs, That Light of Love.
Oh, good.
So before we play that, can you tell us about it a little bit?
Yes. Actually, I had written a song a number of years ago, and it was, you know, it's an older song, but I had reworked it when I was doing this recording because I had never done a recording of it. And it's just one of those forever love songs that people that are in a very special or long-term relationship, marriage, will be able to really connect, I think, with the lyrics. So that's the song, That Light of Love.
Okay. Well, we're going to play a little bit of it now, but don't go anywhere, okay, because I'll come back and talk with you a little bit more after.
Okay, you got it.
Okay. All right. That Light of Love, Brett Marshall.
You have been with me for many a year, through all the struggles your love has been clear. With every trial, however severe, one look in your eyes tells me you will be here. That light of love in your eyes has helped me survive when the pain in my heart didn't seem to subside. Just like a full moon will rise in the dark, lonely sky, only you can impart that light of love in my life. I am a dreamer, break away from the vision that you and I will see better days. But even if all of my dreams fade away, one look in your eyes tells me you always stay. That light of love in your eyes has helped me survive when the pain in my heart didn't seem to subside. Just like a full moon will rise in the dark, lonely sky, only you can impart that light of love. When waves are sweeping my life under sea, I've seen you weeping and praying for me. When friends have failed me and I felt all alone, I have prevailed with the love you have shown.
All right, very nice. Brett Marshall, that light of love. Very nice, Brett.
Thank you.
So thanks. Brett, did you mention this earlier? Did you get your degree in music?
You know, I did. I got a degree in music at Baylor University, and the
mm-hmm.
concentration was in piano. So I've always done some singing, but that had never really been a strong point. It was mainly piano. I even some of the record. The first recording I ever did was a piano solo recording, but I've always sung, and you know, just over the years, that sort of became something I found myself doing all the time.
Mhm. Well, it's very nice. So how many recordings do you have? How many CDs do you have?
Let's see. I can tell you. I believe I have six recordings. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, I think that's about right. I think it's six recordings. The Facets is one of, I guess it's one of my more recent ones from a few years ago. The one that these two recordings that you played were on. So.
Mhm. Okay.
And they're all. In fact, all the recordings that I've done are all available on the digital stores, you know, from Amazon to, you know, Spotify and
right,
et cetera, you know, all those cdbaby.com. So,
right. And I was just gonna ask you, so if people want to buy your music or download your music, or if they want to come hear you play, do you have all of that on your website, your calendar, and links to your music?
Yeah. Yes, as far as availability for downloading songs or just listening, you know, Spotify, save money, go to Spotify, right? But any of the other digital stores have the albums, and it's going to be under Brett Marshall. And as far as currently, there's just I'm kind of redoing a whole revision on the website thing. So right now, the best way to, you know, hear music and to find out stuff, like, usually going to be through Facebook, which is Brett Marshall Music. It's always my name, Brett Marshall, and then the music is added after that. That which would include YouTube as well. My YouTube channel is Brett Marshall Music, Facebook Brett Marshall Music, and both on the Facebook. Just FYI, if any listeners are interested, I have two. One is a personal Facebook, and the other one is a fan page, and they're both under the same label as Brett Marshall Music. It's just that Marshall Music, if you put them close together with no space, creates the friend one. So that's how that works.
Okay. And so people can find out where you're playing.
Yes. And I'm always posting on both those Facebook pages where I'm playing and, you know, and what I'm doing, what's going on.
Okay. And Art just came in here and said I should ask you about Midsummer's Night Dream.
Oh, that's funny. No, I think all that is there's a local playhouse in Brownsville, Texas. I just happened to run across that they're putting on a performance, and I just happened to like the page. So that's what's up, Art.
Oh, okay. So. All right, so I'm going to post your information where people can, you know, just click on the link on my web post about this show so they can find out where you're playing if they're in South Texas, and they could also purchase your music. So we're going to play the last song that you sent as we're on our way off the program, as we go off the air, after I tell everyone what is coming up in the next couple of weeks. But before we stop talking, maybe you can tell us about that. That song is Please Let Me Be the One.
Oh, yeah. That's another song I'd written a number of years ago. Actually, when I had written it, I had a different style of music, but it's a song that I had kept, and when I was preparing to do the recording, I kind of changed the style into more of a jazzy pop based feel, and it's, you know, it's just, you know, one of those jazzy pop kind of love songs that I had done.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'd love to give a shout out to my best friend Jamie De La Cruz if she's listening.
Okay, all right. All right, Brett, well, thank you. We're going to play that on the way out, as I mentioned, and I want to thank you again for coming on the program. I always enjoy your music.
Thank you. That means a lot. Yeah. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, you have a good evening.
All right. You as well. Thank you. Thanks for your time.
All right. Thanks. All right. Talk to you again soon. All right. So before we play that piece, just to let you know what's coming up in the next couple of weeks. Next Sunday, June 11th, we'll be taking a break. I'm heading up to New York to celebrate my birthday, which is tomorrow, 55. And so we're going to play an encore presentation of the show, pick out a really good one, and play that next Sunday at this time. And then the following Sunday, June 18th, we'll be back with another live show from Austin, and the guest will be announced. So keep your eye on my Facebook page and my website, and you'll find out who will be on. In addition, Laura Galazunas will report in from the retirement paradise, Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, and we will have some music, as we usually do. And if you want to hear tonight's program again and read the information from this program or upcoming shows and get the website links that my guests spoke about on the show, listen to previous programs, and read my blog from Thrive Global and Huffington Post and find out about my upcoming book, then go to my website, drmarakarpel.com, drmarakarpel.com. And also be sure to follow me on Facebook for all of the up-to-the-minute news, Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years. And you can listen to this program in as soon as 5 minutes from now by going directly to Blog Talk Radio, that's blogtalkradio.com/Your Golden Years. And this show was produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Psyched Up Productions, and sponsored by neurologist and memory specialist Dr. Ronald DeVere and by Storyhouse. And special thanks to my guests, Steve Kane, Brett Marshall, and Laura Galazunas. And of course, thank you, Art. Thank you all for listening. Have a peaceful night and inspiring week. And remember, youth have no age. Good night, everyone.
If I could be your man today and every day, I'd have a different plan where every dream would go your way. I'd always build you up like you were royalty. For you I would stand up and show you what you really mean to me. I know that you're not ready, you've got your whole life ahead of you, but there will come a day when you will want to choose. Please let me be the one to love you. I can't really love you till the end. Please let me be my bed.
endless world of life and laughter, love and tenderness. Would you consider me?
Any guidance offered by Dr. Carpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Carpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.